And it's a very important message. It needs to be preached, needs to be heard, needs to be carefully, very prayerfully considered. Now, more than once, I've heard this statement. I heard it again last week, which prompted this message. But more than once, I've heard this statement from people who do not worship God, who do not identify with the gospel of God's grace, who do not identify with the Lord's people, who at this moment at home watching their television, not worshiping God, haven't all day today, haven't given us a dime or a nickel or a quarter to support the missionaries, are not identified with God's people in any way, who do not support either with their identification, presence, or gifts the gospel ministry. I hear them say this, and as I said, I heard this just a couple of weeks ago. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm as good as those people down at 13th Street Baptist Church. Have you ever heard that? I'm as good as they are. How do you respond to this? Usually, the response is all wrong. Usually, all wrong. Usually, the response carries with it a half-truth. This is the way the average person, grace believer, responds. Well, I know you are. You're good as anybody down there. We don't claim to be good. That's the way people respond. And it gives that person a false security. He is not as good as the people down here. Not by a long shot. And I'm going to show you that. And when you respond that way, when you say, well, we don't claim to be good. You are as good. The only difference between you and me is that God chose me and I believe on. That is better not be the only difference between you and him. There's a whale lot of difference between you and him. In every way. And so it's not, that's not the way to respond. It's all wrong because it's a half-truth. Now, we know this. Let me establish this. Number one, we know there's none good but God. I don't have any trouble with that, do you? There's none good but God. There was a young man who came to our Lord once, a so-called moral man, a clean liver, a man who was quite wealthy and quite religious, and he bowed to the Lord and said he worshipped him, and he said, good master, and the Lord said to him, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. What is Christ just saying to him is that if I'm not God, I'm not good. If you don't recognize me as God, then don't call me good. There's none actually good in himself, essentially, perfectly, but God. Isn't that right? That's what he's saying to this young man. There's none essentially good but God. God is holy. Holy and reverent is his name. And we know this, that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're aware of that. Turn with me to the book of Romans for a moment. Let me go back to Romans a minute. Romans chapter 7. Now, Paul recognized this. Paul never called himself good. He said here in Romans chapter 7, listen to this. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 18. I know that in me, now watch, he clarifies this, that is in my flesh. That is in my flesh. Dwelleth no good thing. If Christ dwells in me, someone good dwells in me. Isn't that right? He says, in my flesh, essentially, by nature of myself, no good thing dwells in me. I don't claim to be good by nature, by birth. No good thing dwelleth in me. To will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, perfect. This is God good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, it's sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the regenerated man, the renewed man. The renewed man delights in the law of God. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. This is a man with two natures, flesh and spirit. This is a man talking about an inward conflict and an inward battle. He is a good man by regeneration. He is a sinful man by nature. There's a conflict going on. There's a battle going on. That old man is still an old man. That new man is a new man. That old man has those passions and desires and temperament and of the flesh, and that new man has the desires of after holiness, righteousness, and he longs to be perfect, holy. Somebody asked Spurgeon one time, said, if God would give you anything you wanted in all the world, what would you ask for? Oh, he said, I'd ask for absolute perfect holiness. I want to be like Christ. That's the ambition of a child of God. So this is what he's saying here in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. The law of sin. But did you notice that scripture that Chuck read a moment ago in Luke 6? Go back and look at that again. Go back and look at it again. Now, we know there's none good but God. We know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. By nature, there's no goodness in us. But we know this, that when the Lord Jesus gave us life and came in to dwell, he gave us, imparted unto us, a holy nature, a righteous nature. A nature that longs to be like Christ. And he calls it a good man. Now listen to Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. Now he's not good by birth. He's got good by nature. He's good by grace. He's good because God made him good. He's a good man. And out of the good treasure of his heart. What's that? That's the new heart. God said, I'll take the stony heart out and give you a heart of flesh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Your good works. Your what? Your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, turn back to my text. I'm going to be preaching tonight in a moment from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn back there a moment. And this is the command of the Apostle Paul. And one reason, maybe, someone mentioned that they read this and wondered where I was going to come from in this, but I'll tell you the reason why you may have missed what I saw in the text is because most people do on this 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. We don't take this to ourselves, but Paul's talking to us here. He's talking to believers. Paul's writing to Timothy back in verse 13. Tom, see verse 13. I give thee charge, Timothy, in the sight of God. I'm talking to you, Timothy. I give you charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, I charge you. Now in verse 17, he's charging every believer here that's rich in this world. You say, well, that's not me. Yes, that is you too. There wasn't a whole lot of them back in this day rich, but some of them were. You know, usually when we read that, charge them that are rich in this world, we think, well, that's those people, you know, out there in the world got diamonds and automobiles and land and houses. No, we're rich in this world. There are very few people rich as we are. My soul, we have all the nice clothing and nice houses and some of you sitting out there and you got fine homes, you got two or three bathrooms in your home, you got two cars in your garage, you've got your children are healthy and they got plenty to wear, you've got a good job, you've got a good income, you got Social Security, you got a little savings in the bank, you go out to eat. About you, the women, you push a button and wash your clothes, you push a button and dry them, you push a button and wash your dishes, you're rich in this world. You're educated, you're well thought of, you're rich in this world. We are. And he's talking to us here. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, proud. Sometimes riches lead to pride. Do you know that? Oh, yeah. This, I believe this is talking to nearly every one of us here. We're well off. We're exceedingly blessed with material goods. We have prosperity. We have health. And this is prone to produce pride. And just like Paul over here in verse 13 tells his preacher, I charge you, Timothy, I charge you who quicken it before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ that you keep this commandment. I charge you. Now he's talking to every one of us because we are rich in this world and prosperous. I charge you, tell them, don't you be high-minded. Sometimes when you're well off as we are, we're prone to be a little proud. Honors come our way. Acclaim comes our way. We're promoted where we work. We get a little higher. That doesn't mean a man's not saved. He knows the Lord. But tell him to be careful now. Prosperity leads to pride. Even Solomon knew that. He said, Lord, keep me from riches, lest I forget thee. Keep me from poverty, lest I steal. Give me what's convenient. I tell you, there's a great danger to being healthy, prosperous, to having plenty. Sometimes when we're well off, we're prone to neglect prayer. We're prone to neglect worship. When we're well off, we're prone to look down on the fellow that's not quite as well off as we are. Sometimes when we're well off, we're prone to forget where it came from. Sometimes when we're well off, we're prone to forget that all of this will one day pass away. Every bit of it will pass away. So that's what he says here. Charge every one of them in the church that are well off, that are prosperous, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, and don't trust in these uncertain, unstable riches. But in the living God, trust Him. You know, if riches increase, don't put your confidence in them. But trust the living God. Only a believer can do that. This is a believer he's talking to. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What? Those that are rich in this world. That's you and me. We're rich in this world. Who made us rich? God made us rich. I tell you, we're rich in this family we have here. We're rich in material things, in blessings. We just, God has richly, He's richly blessed us with spiritual blessing, with physical blessing, with material blessings. And this verse 18, I charge them, and that's what I'm doing here tonight. You charge them that they be not proud or trust in these things, but in the living God who gave us these things, and that they do good. do good, that they be rich also in good works, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves. The same people he's talking to in verse 17, he's talking to in verse 19. Charge them that are prosperous in this world. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So, my answer to this person, man, woman, or whomever, who makes the statement, I'm as good as the folks down there at the church. And in this case, he singled out 13th Street Baptist Church. I'm as good as the people in 13th Street Baptist Church. I answered, no, sir, you are not. No, sir, you are not. Not by a long shot. And I can tell you this, what our Lord said to the people of that day when he was on this earth, he said to them, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against you because they're greater than Jonah's here. And he said, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, who came to see the riches of Solomon, will rise up in judgment against you because they're greater than Solomon's here. And the people at the church, which, of whom you say I'm as good as they are, they're going to rise up in judgment against you too. Because they made themselves, they came to hear his gospel and received it and believed it and walked in it. So good as they are, no, sir, you are not. You might tell them that. And if you tell them that, you tell them the truth. You're not as good as they are. Now let me show you that. Do you come and bring your family to the house of God? Say this to the people who make this statement. I'm as good as you, they are. Do you come and bring your family to the house of God in worship and praise and thanksgiving on the Lord's Day? No, they do. Do you witness to your neighbors and friends? Is your life a witness? By your identification with the things of God, do your people look out, your neighbors look out the window on Sunday morning and see you getting your family together in the car and driving down to the house of God? No, they do. Do you help support the preachers of the gospel in your area? No, they do. If everybody in the community were like you, there wouldn't be any church in the community. Do you send the gospel by tapes and books and TV and radio and by missionaries around the world to the sheep of God that they might hear the gospel? You don't? Well, you're not good as they are. They do. Isn't that right? Do you help the people of God when they're in sickness? Do you rush to their aid when they're in trouble? Do you write them a check when they're in want? Do you do all that you can to relieve their suffering and lift them when they're in trouble? You don't? Well, those people at 13th Street do. Do you drive to Lexington on your off day and spend all day long working on a church building so the people in Lexington can hear the gospel? You don't? They do. Good as they are. As good as they are. Don't ever look at him and say you're right. He's not right. He's wrong. And he's hiding in a false refuge of doctrinal damnation. He's resting in a false refuge of Calvinism or whatever ism that a man can hold to and not live for the glory of God. Do you encourage other people and exhort them and fellowship with them in the things of God so that they're helped along the road? In other words, today you've come together as a family and you've encouraged one another and you've helped one another and you've greeted one another and you've prayed for one another and you've somebody's been helped along the road through a trial or a difficulty or a sorrow or an emotional upheaval because you've exhorted one another daily. Do you do that? Ask this man or woman. No, I don't. They do. They do. You see, the people of God don't claim to be good. I want to show you something over here in Matthew 25. They, in fact, it embarrasses them when you say they're good. They don't claim to be good in themselves. They claim to be righteous in Christ. They claim to be good in Christ. But they, the people of God, and they do not do what they do to be accepted of God. They're accepted in the Beloved. Their righteousness is in Christ. They know that. But they do these things because they want to do them, because they love to do them, because God has given them a heart that desires to do these things. Look at Matthew 25. This is the Lord Jesus himself speaking here. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he's going to separate them one from another as a sheep divideth his, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He's going to set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Now they are blessed of the Father in that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're blessed of the Father. He chose us. And the Father not only chose us, he sent Christ to this earth to be our righteousness and by his blood to redeem us. And the Father blessed us in that one day by his Spirit he regenerated and called us unto himself and saved us by his grace. Salvation is all of God. And of God are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So come ye, you've been blessed of my Father. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. You don't deserve it. It's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It was purchased for you by the righteousness and blood of Christ. It was given to you as a free gift. That's right. But watch this. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. Now that's not limited only to physical meat. As some of you, well, all of us were hungry this morning. We came here to be fed, and we were fed. We were fed in Sunday school class and fed in here, and we've been fed tonight, and we've been fed. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. You fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was thirsty for a friend. I was thirsty for a warm handshake. I was thirsty for someone to encourage me. I was thirsty to hear the word of God. I was thirsty for the water of life. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. And that works both. That works spiritually and physically. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger. And you took me in. We're all strangers. Peter called us strangers, didn't he? God called us from all these different walks of life. We're strangers. You took me in. You took me in for Christ's sake. You took me in and loved me. You took me not into your building only, but into your heart. Into your friendship, into your family, into your embrace. Like you said tonight, Frank, you and Janet going through this little difficulty, but oh, they took you in. They took you in. And they walk up and they hurt when you hurt. And they rejoice when you rejoice. You took you in. There's a whole lot of difference in being taken in, being taken. Isn't that right? Took me in. You took me in. You see what he's saying here? I was naked and you clothed me. I was naked in my sins and God, with the gospel preached right here in this place, clothed me. I was naked in a lot of ways and I've been clothed. I've been naked in my errors and I've been forgiven. Even you forgive one another, and you forgive me, and we forgive each other. Naked, and you clothe me. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. Covers. It hideth an infirmity. That's right. Naked, you clothed me. You didn't tell on me. You prayed for me. You see what I'm saying? You're naked and you're clothed. This is not just putting clothes on a naked bum down on the street. It reaches in every area of our daily existence. That's naked and you clothed me. You overlooked my infirmities and my failures. No, you clothed me with love and you clothed me with your protective fellowship. You clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. In prison, first I was in prison to the law, cursed by the law, in bondage to the law. And you came to me with the gospel. God set me free. I was in bondage to my... You know, here's another thing. We help one another. In attitude. So I've watched a lot of you here, and you've watched me too. I know you can say the same to me that I'm saying to you. But I've watched some of you get sweeter. In attitude. In temperament. In consideration. You see... We're in prison. We're in prison to sometimes to personality traits that aren't good. We're in prison to attitude that's not good. We're in prison by a selfishness or a self-centeredness or whatever. Whatever has a grip on you imprisons you, doesn't it? And this gospel sets you free. You know the Son, you'll be free. Sometimes it takes a while. Set a man free. Become a better brother, a kinder brother, a more understanding brother, a brother that reaches out. I was in prison. You came to me. And in verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Our Lord said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. Isn't that what he said? And fed you. When did we see you thirsty? There's only one time he ever said, I thirst. And you know how we responded, don't you? With vinegar. When did we see you a stranger that took you in? No, he took us in. We didn't take him in. Naked and clothed you, or saw you sick and in prison, came to you. And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. There's those good people. There's the Lord's good people. And they're not going to stop doing it either. They're going to keep doing it. And they're going to ask him to enable them to do it more. Lord, bless me that I might be a blessing. Teach me that I might teach another. Help me that I might be a helper. Fill me that I might overflow. Give and it shall be given to you. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I tell you, as in God's grace, by God's grace, an individual who knows that grace will be brought to the place where he'd rather give a gift any day than receive one. And I know some boys and girls are going to say, ooh, I don't see. That preacher's gone clear off the deep end. No, wait a minute now. Give me a try. See if this is not so. There'll come a time when your heart will enjoy much more giving than receiving. That's grace. That's a good man. You've done it to me. All right, let me read one other scripture and I'll quit. Acts chapter 11. And have you... I've been helped as I thought about this, and I thought maybe it might help you. Do you see what I'm saying? I know we want to witness to people, and we want to do it in such a way that we won't give anybody even the slightest idea that we believe a man's saved by good works. I know better than that. You do too. But I tell you, a man's not saved without them. That's right. He's not saved without them. It's like I contend this. We're not saved by praying, but we're not saved unless we do. Isn't that right? It's the grace of God that saves. But I guarantee you this, every man whom he calls will call on him. And a person who does not pray doesn't know God. And if there's not kindness and forgiveness and grace and a righteous walk, then there's not, the Lord's not present there. And I close with this scripture over here in Acts chapter 11. Listen to this. Acts 11 verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And so they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, this is Barnabas, Saul's sidekick, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. Who? Barnabas was a good man. Don't be afraid to use that term. And I know theologically it has to be used in its context, but he, by the grace of God, is a good man. A good man. Read on. And full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He's a good man. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you do. And I think you can rightly handle it. Rightly divide the word of truth. But let's not give anybody cause to even believe for a moment that he can be saved by the grace of God and not manifest graciousness in his life. Can't do it. If Christ the Lord lives in here, then the fruit of Christ and the love of Christ and the beauty of Christ will be seen out here. Not infallible by any means. But like Barnard said to that dear person, if you really know the Lord, sooner or later, it's going to leak out on you. All right, Mike, come lead us in a hymn.